levantaré mi bandera, alzando mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, wow.
Levantaré mi bandera, alzando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. No, no, Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento.
And welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, Rafael, the Latin Babbler. I am alongside my amazing co-host, Juan Ayala from Latin Arte and Actors with Issues. Today, we have a hilarious guest, a Los Angeles-based comedian, actor, writer, born and raised in Long Beach. Boy, he's got a drive. He can be seen in recurring roles on Mr. Trujillo, on Netflix series Mr. Iglesias, and in roles on Alone Together in Freeform and in Teachers TV Land. He is also the host of Tacos con Todos, a web series from Complex. First We Feast, Hot Ones, in which he navigates the L.A. taco scene with celebrities. He's seen on the season premiere of We Need to Talk About America, premiering on April 20th on Fuse TV. Let's welcome Jesus Trejo. What's up, man?
What's up, everybody? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, right? One of those, it's crazy. Yo, man, this is great. So look, we're gonna dive right into it. One of the things that's really cool is you're a first generation Latino, just like myself, just like Juan. Your parents immigrated from Mexico.
Yeah.
And I wanted to first give you a standing ovation because I saw parts of the AARP documentary, the one that was called Care to Laugh. You and I were talking about this right before we came on.
Yeah. Thank you for watching.
This followed you. Yeah. No, man. It was amazing. It was a tearjerker for anybody who hasn't seen it. You got to go see this. It's crazy. But it followed you and your parents. As you pursued like your stand up and also being a caretaker, which a lot of people don't seem to understand how important that role was. Like, if you don't mind me asking, what was that experience like?
I mean, it's been a challenge. I mean, I've been a caregiver for, I think in some way, shape or form for as long as I can remember, as early as I had the command of the English language. That's when you start assuming this role of caregivers, of a caregiver. But yeah, it's like, as time went on, my parents' health started to kind of deteriorate a bit. And that's when I assumed the role of like full on caregiver. And, you know, that documentary, this was, you know, handful of years ago, and they followed me for a year. And, you know, even when I look at that documentary now, it's like, oh man, it was tough. But, you know, those things don't stop. I mean, it continues to evolve and unfold. And I mean, I'm still a caregiver to this day. And that experience, I think, really resonates with our culture. You know, Latinos really, like, we take care of our elders in our family. And it's not something that somebody asks you to do. It's like, and it's also not assumed, but at the same time, you know what you need to do. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it's a story of a Mexican-American, you know, following his dream and taking care of his parents. So it's out now. AARP Studios produced it. And yeah, that's a tough documentary. Like I've had the chance to rewatch it for this presentation, and it's tough. It's tough watching it.
It's, yeah, it is. And look, I urge everybody to go see it because it'll open up your eyes on a lot of the things that we've had to gone through, especially what you've got to gone through. I read in, what is it, Press? I think it was Press Telegram, where you said it's quite hard to explain a career of arts to like immigrant parents. Now, we've mentioned this on the show quite a few times where, you know, as Latinos, Latinas, we kind of get pushed into like one career mode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, whatever puts you into the best financial position.
Sure.
Now, I'm a dad of like artistic people. Like my daughter's a painter. My other one's an actress. You know, my son, he actually does the social media for the entire thing.
That's
but
great.
The way you handled it was kind of amazing because like you felt compelled to give them something that they wanted, which is they wanted to. So you went and you got your, I think it was your degree at Cal State.
Yeah, Cal State Dominguez Hills. Yeah, went in and followed the direction of like a business degree. Then you graduate. I give them the degree, and I said, I'm going to go park cars at a comedy store, at the comedy store here in West Hollywood, because that path is going to lead to more stage time and me developing as a comic. Try explaining that to your parents where they, you know, it's like they work so hard, they sacrifice so much for you to get an education. And then they're like, all right, this is great. You know, we're about to get out of this, as they call it in Spanish, this racha. You know, you're about to get out of this racha and make things happen. And then it's like, wait, what? You're parking cars? Like, you could have done that without a degree. But it's like, you know, people like Juan and Rafael and like myself who are creative types and know that there's a bigger thing to be had there. I mean, it's like we could follow these paths, but at the same time, it's like there's a calling that an artist has. Only an artist could really like know what that means. You know, it's like to really take that opportunity cost and go for something a little bigger than. Not to say that being a lawyer and an engineer or a doctor or that kind of thing is small, but it's like to us, there feels like there's a bigger opportunity out there for us than that.
Yeah, because the calling is the same. So the person who's the attorney who wants to be an attorney, like he's called to that. That's like his
thing. That's a calling, yep.
You know, he wakes up in the morning and he's like, I'm taking my paperwork and yeah, we're going to set this guy free or put this guy, you know, whatever it is. Same with doctors. Their calling is to like, you know, make sure people are alive and well. And so for comedians and actors and, you know, different performers, you know, when they wake up, you eat, crave, like that's your thing. Like there's nothing else you can think of. Like Juan's an actor. So Juan, from your perspective, like, is there anything else in this life that you would do? Besides that,
there's like, honestly, the only thing is like, I always say that in another life, I was a chef and opened my own restaurant. My dad was a chef. I come from a family of cooks. And that's like the only thing. But it's still an art, culinary arts, you know, it's still like,
yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that's a creative it's thing. Still,
and it's also cultural, like food, yeah, as you guys know. I mean, he just has a whole show about tacos. Like, you know, like it's so ingrained in our culture. That it's not even, it's like beyond passion. It's like part of our identity, you know? And just going back to what Rafa said, like, you know, I've never met a reluctant doctor or a lawyer who hates his job. Like you guys were saying, like, you know, it's always like ingrained in them as well. And, you know, the whole thing about caretakers, like, it's also part of our culture. Like you're saying, we have such a respect for our elders and all of that. And we care for our own. Like Latinos don't put their family, their parents in a nursing home. If you do that, like the family will shun you if you even think about it. Like,
yeah. You're disowned. Yeah.
So like, honestly,
which is also a very difficult thing, right? It's like, you know, we don't put our elders in a home. And even I think that's where like certain kind of challenges arise, right? Because it's like, let's say a family member gets to the point where they do need that help. Now they have this kind of thing that they're dealing with. It's like, do I put them in a home, you know, at the point of where they really need some expert care? So it's like, you know, it's like we do take pride in taking care of our loved ones, but at the same time, when it comes to that point, it's like it's very challenging because it's just not in our nature to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very tricky situation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you.
That's it.
Because you definitely have to sit there and like face the music, so to speak, when you have to make that decision. But I agree with you in that, look, we can offer as much love and as much care as we want, but expert care is a lot different than what we're capable of sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, depending on the decision, that's definitely the right.
I feel like that's why every Latino family tries to have at least one nurse in the family. They'll be like, well, wait as long as we can, you know, one nurse or one somebody that works in the field. That's the case with me and my family, my sisters.
Either that or be like me. We have a whole bunch of friends that are Filipino. They all go for nursing. So, I mean, that's, look, they know it. I got my best friend. It's like whole family's going for it.
Juan, did you say your sister's a nurse?
My sister's in, she majored in public health. And then my cousin is in a nurse and she like works at like Yale Hospital, which is like the major hospital in Connecticut.
And that's crazy.
Rafael, it's funny you mentioned that. My boyfriend, both of his parents, they're Filipino. And both of his parents work in the medical. His mom's a nurse. His dad's a respiratory therapist. So, you know.
Nice. I wasn't joking.
Not a joke.
That's great.
If you listen to Joe Coy, he does the same thing. He makes fun of it all the time. You're either going for, like, you know, healthcare or post office. So it's kind of funny. So I have a question for you. Because, like, the thing about you is, are you still in Long Beach?
Yeah. I'm.
Like, is that where you're still?
I'm in the South Bay. So I'm in the South Bay now and, you know, still take care of my folks and, you know, juggling comedy and touring and, you know, filming stuff and, you know, a little project here and there and writing. So, yeah, man, we just have to learn how to, you know, just juggle it and hope we don't drop none of the bowling pins. We're just, you know, in the air with it.
So look, for people who don't know where Long Beach is compared to like the actual Hollywood and, you know, downtown L.A., this man is driving like 2 hours a day
because of traffic
just to get to where he needs to get. Yeah. You got to like cross the city.
Yeah.
And that's the 10, the 5, the, you know, depending on which route you're going to, that gets like jammed.
Yeah. Pick your poison for sure. So you want to hop on that 405 or that 110. And then, you know, it's like, you know, going into town, you take that 405 and then you have to drive up La Cienega all the way up. And, you know, it's just a standstill. So it just, you know, it's not technically far, but the traffic makes it like unbearable.
You're not lying. Yeah. I was in, when we first came to visit L.A., I was in, I think it was Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And from Hawthorne to Hollywood, it took me an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, because for sure.
Of the traffic going through the spot. I'm in now Granada Hills.
Okay.
And from here to Pasadena, which is longer miles, it takes me 30 minutes. Mm. That's the deal that people don't understand. So imagine going from Long Beach all the way, you know, to LA. I think it was the Comedy Store. Comedy Store is where you do most of your stand up.
Yeah, that's so my home club.
That's at least a 2 hour drive with the traffic. That's crazy.
I give props. But it's like I give props to people that live in New York too. It's like New York is a town that I've always just dreamt of living out there. I just love the city so much. But I mean, Juan, it's like I'm sure you guys are like, once you're in the city, like you're there. There's no like, I'm going to go back and forth. You got to take the train and walk.
Yeah.
Like I always felt like when I went to New York, like I would get blisters from walking so much. And it was like, like karma from every time I could have walked somewhere and I drove here in LA. So I'm like, man, New York, it's beautiful, but it's like, it's still the same hustle just by foot.
Yeah. For sure. You're always, I mean, you know, thank God that most of like auditions and stuff are tapes. So it's like from home and stuff. It's not like all in person yet, but man, yeah. Like you show up to your auditions like sweaty and just out of breath and just, it's so horrible. I don't miss going back in person at all. We never do it.
I think that's one of the good things that came out of the pandemic, right? It's like a lot of the things became, you know, it was like, a Zoom or, you know, online kind of thing. So it's like even submitting a self-tape is easier, or if you got to do like an in-person Zoom thing like that, I think helped, which is why now I don't mind living in Long Beach, because I'm like, you know, all the meetings that I would have had to drive out all the way over there for a 10-minute, like, hey, how you doing? These are my lines. All right, bye. And drive back another hour and a half to 2 hours is gone. You know, most of it is here now.
Exactly.
Now, you've been doing stand-up for quite some time. When did you start seeing, like, because I know it takes a while. Stand-up comedy, you have to grind. You have to, like, put yourself in, you know, those opening acts. You have to do it for quite some time before you kind of get the respect to kind of move up. It's just weird the way comedy works. It's one of the very few professions where you really, really have to put in the work in order to have people just look. Like, when did you start noticing that you were, like, oh, okay, this is happening. Like, this is getting there.
I guess, you know, there's like little achievements along the way that you're like, oh, okay. It kind of gives you the little push of encouragement. But I think in the last few years, it's really when I'm like, okay, I think I'm picking up steam, you know. But then it's like, yeah, it never stops being a hustle. You know, it's like going back to the conversation we had before, like a doctor, like, somebody that wants to be a doctor, and they've committed to a lifetime of learning. And I feel like that's what it feels like to be like a stand-up comic. It's like, once you get the joke to work, it's like, all right, you got to go on and rewrite the whole thing. Like, rewrite a new hour, rewrite a new 5 minutes. So it never stops. And I think, you know, it's like, you don't, when you're in it, you don't quite feel like things are popping off. It just like, all right, I'm on to the next joke. And when you look back, you're like, oh man, I wrote all that material in X amount of time, or didn't write that material in X amount of time. But yeah, it's just exciting. I think right now, being able to go on the road, I'm on my first ever like book tour. I'm booked tour ahead of time. It's called the Empty Calorie Tour. and just going to different towns all over the place. I called it empty calorie because I think it describes my comedy perfectly. It's like it has no substance, but you're going to get a good laugh. So, yeah, just to be on the road. Like next week I'll be in Austin. After that I'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina after that. Then Philly, and it keeps going. And that to me is where I wanted to be. When I started comedy, I'm like, if I could just be on the road every weekend and be able to headline these clubs in the weekend and be able to work on the hour, five shows a weekend at a club, like that's where I wanted to be. And it finally has happened. So I think I'm very happy to see where this current opportunity leads me later.
All the gorditos who are like, oh, the empty calorie toy. We got to turn around.
Yeah, come on over here.
Some secret to something.
Most of my material is about food. So, yeah.
So, Jesus, I'm curious. Did you find it difficult transitioning from stand-up comedy to then going to scripted acting roles?
I think that has been a great question. That has always been, I think, my challenge because, you know, as a stand-up, it's like you write your own material, you perform it, you know, you kind of have the whole, like everything in here is like, I know what it's supposed to sound like. I know how the cadence goes. So you're kind of directing yourself. But when it goes from like stand up into acting, it's like, I think initially I did find it a little hard because they write it a certain way. And there's kind of, you know, with time you learn this, like knowing how much to improv and how much not. I mean, the words are already written, so they want you to deliver the lines. You can put your own sazon on it, but at the end of the day, it's like, these are your words. I mean, and I think I speak for myself as a stand-up, sometimes my mind wants to go, oh, say this, say that, because my mind is now moving.
Yeah.
And I know that that's frowned upon oftentimes. So you kind of learn that acting is a different groove. But yeah, definitely presented some challenges.
Yeah, Lord knows, because especially with like with major network TV, like, you know, Fox, NBC and all of them, the dialogue goes through like so many groups of people, like censors and stuff, to make sure like, oh, you can say that, you can't say that. So like, they're so meticulous on set. They'll be like, you have to say this word for word. Like, there's really like no improv.
Yeah.
Even for auditioning, they'll be like, no, absolutely zero improv. This was approved dialogue and that's it. So
yeah.
Yeah, man, I can imagine, especially like the improv guys, like who are like more into improv comedy, they find it so hard to like stick to the script.
Right.
I can definitely see that being a challenge.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. And it's like, and I also think about it, it's like, I think we feel like there's sometimes a more relaxed setting when it comes to TV. But it's like, if you think about like a Broadway play, there is no room for improv. Shakespeare is Shakespeare. Yeah. It's like, what, Jesus Trejo was going to add his two pennies to Shakespeare? Like, no, no, no. Say the words.
Add a catchphrase.
Yeah.
And I'm curious.
He's throwing in his 2 cents.
Yeah. And any advice for any comedians who want to make it as an actor, who want to make that switch over?
I think it's just, you know, trusting your instinct. I mean, I definitely, even to this day, I put myself in acting classes just because I know that there's actors like yourself who are out there working on that craft as much as I'm working on the craft of being a stand-up comic. I go up every day, I write every day, I'm thinking about jokes every day, and that is like my forte and my passion. I love acting as well, but I know that there's people out there like Juan who's approaching acting the same way I'm approaching stand-up. So it's like I need to put myself in those acting classes and that kind of thing. So the advice I would give, I mean, I think I'm the wrong person for advice. I mean, I don't have too many acting stuff, but the stuff that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of, I think it was trusting the direction of the people on set or telling you to do this or that. And also acting coaches, you have to, there's a level of letting go that's very important as stand-ups. You know, we want to control how we say the material, that kind of thing, you know, letting go and trusting the acting coach in these exercises. I mean, I've been in acting classes that sometimes the exercises just feel like, what the hell are we doing? I did not pay X amount of dollars to
sit and breathe
or like pretend I'm this or that. And it's like, and then later you're like, oh wow, goodness. That was part of the thing. Like you realize those nuggets later that you're like, oh, this is a gold nugget, and I didn't realize it like earlier because it was covered in dirt. You know, with time, you kind of polish it. You're like, oh, this is gold, man.
Yeah. You guys are tripping me out because my daughter, when she was in school, Juan's probably going to relate. My daughter, when she was in school, she came home one time and she had to sit there and pretend that she was an animal.
Oh, I got a story for you.
And I remember, I remember her going into this and I'm looking at her and out of nowhere, I go into the room and I'm like, hey, you know, dinner's ready. And she's in there and she's in full tiger mode and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, oh, this is one of the exercises. I'm like, I'm paying for this shit.
That's funny.
It's like, what the hell are you guys got going on over there? This is a whole class that does this.
Yeah.
But yeah, she says it helps them, you know, it helps them get into the role depending on what they're playing. So it's actually, you know.
It really is. It's like, I remember, what was it, like about a year ago, same thing. It was like a exercise for an animal. And I'm in my room again. You guys know I'm a caregiver. Parents are out there. Close the door. Got my lights on. Got my thing. And. You know, I got a chair, and I was supposed to be a bird, so I'm on the chair. You know, and I'm in full character. I'm in full character mode because it's like I want the acting coach to be like, great work. You don't have to do it again. Yeah, you know, you got it. Next person, because if not, you got to sit there and be the bird again. You know, in front of everybody. My pops walks in, and I remember him opening the door, and then just. The slowest closing and him retreating back. and I didn't go outside. I just stayed in here. I'm like, he saw what he saw, you know, and and then
we'll never speak of it again.
So I go out there. My dad, like, he's not bringing it up, but later he's like, what were you doing? And I explained that it was like an exercise, you know, being an animal and picking up the traits and kind of, you know, conveying what you're seeing to other people watching you as a bird, but what is like, and then he's like, and that's acting. Yeah. I'm like, I can't put it to words because every time I try to explain it, it's gonna sound weird, and you're not gonna.
It's gonna sound worse. You're not gonna get it. Look, for those of us who didn't take the school, we're never gonna get it. That awkward like dinner after you see it, you're just like
just sitting there,
it's like everybody's looking down,
just looking at. So
that was your class.
You know, it's coming when they do this. They're eating and looking at you, and then it's like, ¿Cómo estuvo la clase? Oh, like the glasses are off.
¿Qué aprendiste hoy? You know?
And then you tell them, and it's like, ¿Y te va a servir eso for your work? You know, it's like.
And you're like, when I book Planet of the Apes or Avatar or wherever you do this motion capture, like, honestly, you never know. You know, a lot of these roles, like, get super physical. So you literally never know. Or if you're doing, like, something in theater that's, like, immersive.
Yes, exactly. Whatever,
like, the industry is getting so weird lately. Not weird, is that the right word? But just, like, so it's not as, it's like,
weird.
Normal.
As what about, let me ask y'all this. Have y'all ever auditioned, like... You know, because we can do it from home now. That's what we've been talking about. But, like, putting yourself on tape, like, for a voiceover audition. I think that one freaks out my parents a lot more.
Yep. I had to warn my roommate daughter. When I had one for a video game where it was all these, like, one-liners. Yeah. You know, it's, like, the single voice lines. And it's like, get down! Grenade! My roommate, I'm like, hey, bro, just really quick.
Screaming.
There's gonna, like mission accomplished, like just all this like nonsense, just like one-liners and just like the line and then a second of silence and then
or getting so hit we getting hit and like yelling, it's like and then you're like and then doing it again, they're like, what the hell's going on in there?
so behind me is the actual like voiceover studio that we have, like
on the other
side of this wall, and it's the same thing. Yeah, my daughter's the same thing when she's doing the voiceover. One morning I wake up, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and out of nowhere, all I hear is these baby sounds coming out of the studio. I'm like, what the hell? What the hell's going on? And she's like, I'm like, I turn around afterwards. I'm like, were you recording something or were you just like warming up?
Right.
I don't even know anymore. Like those could have been like vocal warm-ups, but
voiceover. And to that, I say like, it is hard for our parents to understand what we're doing. It's like we're doing baby sounds one day and then yelling grenade the next and then, you know, acting like a bird the next. So it's like, it's like, I get it, you guys. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all.
So he just want to go into your upcoming show.
Yes.
We need to talk about America. a new show from Fuse that you're a big part of, and it's going to premiere, as we said earlier, on April 20th at 11 on Fuse, Fuse Plus, and in the UK. Any of our UK listeners, you can watch it on Fuse Beat. And features an amazing lineup of diverse talent from the comedy scene. We have Chinedu Unaka, Tim Chantarangsu, Sherry Cola, Paul Elia, Zanabe Johnson, Crystal Marie Denna, Aida Rodriguez, love Aida, Marcela Arguello, and Percy Rustamaji. So how did all of that start for you getting involved in this project? How involved were you? Are you just like talent? Are you involved in other aspects?
Yeah, no, I got casted to be part of this great cast that you just named. I mean, all amazing comedians, just, I mean, a funny, funny group of people there. So I'm very lucky to be a part of that. And basically this show, I mean, shout out to Fuse for letting me be a part of this. Such a very funny, a deep look into American culture. You know, it's like, you know, things we were just talking about, things that are a little hard to explain to our parents' generation. It's like one of them were like gender reveals. Like that was one of the topics that we talked about. And I remember thinking, it's like, that is not a thing in my culture. It's like the gender reveal happened
it's not
in real time. that's when it Call us old school, but that happened in real time. And we do a deep dive on like gender reveals, even body modifications, which I think, like for me, I don't have any piercings, any tattoos, because I'm deathly afraid of my folks to this day. That if I walk in with a tattoo, it's like that piece of flesh where that tattoo once was would be missing in the morning. You know what I mean? So we do.
Yeah.
We would do a deep dive in all these great things. And I think we have such a diverse group of point of views that this show is just naturally hysterical. And you know, it's just stuff that we've seen online, stuff that has gone viral. And we do a deep dive. And I think this show did a great job of kind of bringing clips from all over the internet into one place where we can all talk about it.
That's
awesome. It's hilarious. Like we saw some of the footage. You know, obviously we can't talk about it because it comes out on April 20th. But I tell you, it's some of the stuff is actually really, like, if you're with the type of person who's on social media a lot, or even just wondering what the hell's going on social media, they tackle a lot of it. Mm-hmm. They do. And yeah, there are some stuff that I didn't even know existed.
I mean, there were certain topics that were brought up that I'm like, wait, yeah, that's a what? Thing?
Exactly.
I've never heard of that. You know, and I've been on this earth a while, and I have never heard of it. But I think that's the beauty of this show, that it's like some of the stuff you may be familiar with and you have your own personal take. And then some of it is like, I think even like the crew was like in awe sometimes of what we were like seeing, because I mean, this world is ever changing, and it's great. I think the shows like this kind of give you a big, it adds to your perspective. It just lets you know what's out there, and you know, yeah, it's all interesting. I dig it.
Now, I know the premiere is actually going to be, I think it's first generation comedians. They have a lot of them on there. But are you like going to be on a continuous version of this?
Or yeah, you're going to see me throughout the whole season. I'm going to, you know, pop in and give my two cents. So it's like a mix of all these comedians that we pop in from episode to episode. Sometimes topic to topic, we'll pop in. And sometimes we do kind of like a duo kind of breakdown of a topic. So I got to work with a couple of people, Marcela Arguello I got to work with, and Tim I got to work with, and a couple other people. And yeah, the show is funny. I hope you guys check it out. April 20th, it's Fuse is going down.
Yeah, and they're doing a bunch of really cool stuff, and a lot of it is aimed to, you know, try to bring in the young minds and the young audience, and it's very diverse. That's the thing I love about it. You know, every single time we talk with them, it's a very diverse cast on everything that they do. Yeah. So really cool.
They got their ear to the streets for sure.
Oh, definitely. Completely. I wanted to talk about the books, because you're a writer too. So, and like, you're actually currently developing and writing a children's book, which is kind of tapping into like the younger version of you as like the protagonist of the book. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, this book is, I mean, the children's books has been something that I've always like, I mean, I grew up in a library basically, you know, it's like, that was my babysitter for a long time. My mom would like go work. Sometimes just drop me off on the weekends there. If I wasn't working with my dad or during the week, after school, I go straight to the library and I stay there till they shut down, you know. So I lived in the library, the main library in Long Beach, which is no longer there. They built a brand new, beautiful looking one right in front, which I still think the old one was better. But I grew up with this like love for books, and that's always been a dream of mine. And, you know, we got a book deal. Shout out to the people over at Mind Edition. We went out and, you know, pitched this book, and there was a lot of interest, and there was like, you know, there was a bidding war that happened, you know, and Mind Edition, I think we were very excited to work with Mind Edition just because they understood the story that I was trying to tell, and creatively the direction that I wanted to go with it. And the first book, it's going to be basically based on my upbringing. Like, I used to go work with my father. My father was a gardener. So every Saturday and sometimes Sundays and even Fridays, we would go mow lawns. And at the time, it was just kind of like, man, I have to go work. You know, my friends are looking at me. I'm over here pushing a lawnmower. Your friends are looking at you. You get all embarrassed, you know, in front of your crush. but that was my upbringing. And again, at the time, I thought it was terrible. And now I look back, it's like, what beautiful moments I got to share.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, learning work ethic, working with my pops, you know, all these great things. So now it's like we're able to kind of tell these stories that happened with my father and I out there with, you know, the gardening and my culture as, you know, as the setting or kind of the background. But, you know, just kind of stepping a little bit into like the funny stories of, you know, the imagination that a kid has. And yeah, so this book will be out summer of next year, I believe. So it's already in the works. It's out. They made an announcement, and yeah, the ball is rolling for the book, and I can't wait for people to check it out.
Hey, look, when it comes out, we'll be the first ones to push it out there, man. So, you know.
Oh, I would love that. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. That would be great. And I'm working with this amazing illustrator. She's like amazing. She's based in Texas. Her name is Elijah Kinks. Her style, I mean, it's like through a lens of a little kid, if you can imagine it. But just like the way that she like tells the story from like an art perspective. I mean, I love her work. She has some books out already, and I'm just very fortunate that I get to work with such a talented artist. And yeah, I can't wait for you guys to see the whole thing. It's like, I'm excited.
Hey, we'll add our information to even this interview, to where we put out the post. So, hey, look, this is amazing. I love what you're doing. I have one last question.
Yeah, what do you got?
Tacos con todos. How do I join that journey? That's all I got to say. Because I
you know how you can join that journey? Uh-huh.
And I'd love to learn about some tacos.
You know what? I'm glad you asked, because we got a third season about to pop off. It premieres May 10th. And it is, I think, our best season yet. So Tacos con Todo, for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, we got two seasons so far, part of First We Feast and Complex. And we just basically do a deep dive into like the LA taco scene. There's a bunch of pop-ups, trucks, restaurants that we do a deep dive. But this season, the third season, it's a very special one because most of them are like speakeasies, like backyard spots, in a garage kind of thing. So hood stuff. My mouth is watering just thinking about the... I don't know if you guys caught that. I'm like,
she's like...
Yeah, I mean, this season we're like 3/4 of the way through. We're like 75% through the season filming them, and I mean, we have some amazing guests. One of the spots that we went to is I won't spoil it too much, but basically, think of a seafood restaurant in somebody's backyard, and it's a whole oasis. I mean, aguachiles to like a sour apple ceviche, which I had never heard of. And the owner's from the same place in Sinaloa that my dad's from. And I told my dad about it. I'm like, we ate some sour apple Sinaloa. He's like, I've never heard of that. But let me tell you, it is so amazing. My first thought was, what is apples doing in the ceviche? But then I was like, apples could stay for sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Once you had
so, it. So yeah, we got a bunch of this. I'm sorry?
So,
like, once you had it for the first time, you're like, okay, adding this into the adding mix this now.
It's in the recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Every time now. Yeah. It's like, there's no other way. But yeah, there's a. Yeah, season 3 is coming up, and yeah, you guys are going to check out some more stuff on there. And if you guys are ever in LA, I said this before off air, and I'll say it on air again. Rafael Juan, if you guys are ever in LA, hit me up. Well, Rafael, I know you're out here.
I'm already
Let's
in
go
LA.
Get some tacos.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, bro, my bad.
Look, I'm trying to put
I thought you were in New York.
I got him on an interview. This is going to be on YouTube. I'm going to put you on the spot. Like, I want to know, how do I get to go on a ride with you to go experience some of the best tacos LA has.
Let's do it. Come out. We'll do it.
Yo, just like, look, immediately after we finish the interview, we'll exchange stuff. We'll try to see if we can make this happen. Even if I'm not on the show or anything like
Let's
that.
Let's do it, man. Let's go get some. What, you want beef? Yeah, you want seafood tacos? You want carnitas?
I want it all.
Okay, yeah. Done.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, what's her name from Willy Wonka. I'm going to be greedy. What's her name? Baruka. I want everything. Just Baruka salts. Just give me it all. I want it all tacos.
Let's do it. I'm down with it.
So, Jesus, if folks want to follow you, learn more about your book or your upcoming shows, where would they go?
They can go to jesustrejo.com, my touring schedule, Tacos Con Todo stuff, all over there. Or you can follow me on Instagram at jesustrejo, the number 1. I'm on TikTok. My handle for TikTok is at the Jesus Trejo. I'm on Twitter, Jesus Trejo. But yeah, JesusTrejo.com. You'll find it all right there, conveniently laid out for you.
Conveniently laid out, like a nice little table. We're going to have it.
Yeah, a little table ready to eat.
Para que todo el mundo pueda verlo.
Así es.
All right, guys. Don't forget to watch We Need to Talk About America, premiering on April the 20th at 11 p.m. on Fuse Plus. If you're in the UK, it's going to be on Fuse Beat. And to listen to this show, make sure you listen to all popular podcast apps. Go on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the button right below. And if you want to follow us on social media, it's at Latin Babbler Show in every location, except for on Twitter, where they wouldn't allow us to put the O. So it's just Latin Babbler W. And, aside from that, we thank you, Juan, for joining us. We thank you, Jesus, for joining us. And we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente. Estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira noches sin fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera.